Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Seed thoughts for consideration for vision. If you want to turn in your word to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Teresa helps me in my studies, so I'm going to ask her to read the passage because she's familiar with it. We're going to read verses 3 through 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1.
Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort with wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaireth even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us.
Thank you. Father, we continue in prayer and in worship, looking to you, asking that you would continue to speak to us and give us ears to hear what it is that you're saying to us as a church and individually. We ask you to bless these words to our hearts, along with the other words that will come forth tonight. And I personally, Father, just again present myself to you, yield myself to you, surrender myself to you, that you may, through your Spirit, under the anointing, really speak to us, God, in this time and where we're at and what we're facing. Father, I'm thinking tonight the motivation of the thoughts that you've provoked within me by the Spirit in large part have been because of the awareness of our brothers and sisters that are hurting. And Father, some of the things that we've been through and that we may face in the future, we just love you, Lord. We ask you to anoint these thoughts to us, the living word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of other passages of Scripture, trusting by faith where I'm going with this, for your notes and personal consideration. I've been studying in Romans chapter 8, verses 27 through the end, and then a passage in Psalm 34. In particular, I'll mention it later, but just for note takers, Psalm 34, verse 19. Our God, who has sent us in the essence of the third person of the Trinity, the Comforter, comforts us when we are subject to various afflictions, trials, things that come against us. As I said a moment ago, I've been thinking a lot about the testimony and requests that Krista Pisa put out on the prayer chain. I've been thinking a lot about Michelle Sickles and what she's going through with the pain she's been experiencing. And thinking a lot about just really God's heart on these issues. And where they come from, how they come about is part of the equation. And I realize that we need to be reminded and understand that in large part, probably predominantly, the sufferings that we experience in terms of physical suffering is from the effect of the fall, the effect of sin. And then in addition to that, in the activation and the puppetry of the enemy on the old sin nature, we have different things that come against us through the flesh of man and man's activities, especially when they're under the influence and the guidance of the enemy. And then there's the devil and the demons themselves, the form of their direct focus on us. And Satan obviously is responsible right from the beginning for bringing death upon mankind. And death that's been brought upon us because of what took place in the garden. And then the production of that is all designed to hurt us. And but you know what? There's a lot of things I could put into this, but you know what? One of the amazing motivating revelations from the Word and from the witness of the Spirit is that God, right from the very beginning, has been in the business of caring for us and rescuing us. Even to the point where with Adam and Eve in the garden, when the fall took place, that he made coats of skin for them to cover them. And he has been, you know, people will ask the question, why? Why? We, as we go through things and experience them, will ask the question, why? And where is God in the midst of this? Well, God is there, and God is here, and God is reaching out, and he is, in fact, doing what he can to comfort us and to use us to comfort others as well. He has, in fact, been throughout history intervening to bring comfort and deliverance to mankind, and especially to those that will respond to the message of his love. You know, I'm speaking predominantly to us as a body, you know my heart and my emphasis, as I believe the Holy Spirit has led me to be used of God to promote faith for the miraculous and for healing, even to the point I've stepped out in self-abandonment and in faith, believing that this is the will of God. I believe our God is a healer. And I believe that that he would have us to seek him and believe him for the needs that we are aware of, especially the recent needs. But I also understand, and I have taught, and the reason I had us turn to 1 Corinthians 2, or 2 Corinthians chapter 1, is that we have been, at times, are called to fellowship in the sufferings of Christ. And there is what's called undeserved suffering, and there is suffering that is as a result of the, and it's a form of undeserved suffering, that is a result of the angelic conflict and spiritual warfare that's going on. And so my understanding and from my studies and the faith that God has been forming within me, and I've tried to share with others, is that, yes, understand this, that, again, we have been made in the image of God. And because we have been created by God and are made in his image and are loved by him, Satan hates us. The demons hate us. And as born-again believers, they even hate us all the more because we have Christ in us. And just in a very practical way of presenting it for those that are listening and might not be familiar with this, basically, when the enemy comes in and attacks mankind, and attacks a believer, especially a believer that loves the Lord and walks in the Spirit, such as the brothers and sisters that I've mentioned here tonight, what he is really going at is he's going after Christ. And he's going after Christ within us. And so that which he brings against us is not just aimed at us in and of ourselves, but against who we are in Christ. And in that way, when we come under the effects of the attacks that come against us, in that way, when we suffer as a result, that's when we are called, when the attack is really against Christ. That is how, in one way, we line up with an experience and fellowship in the sufferings of Christ. Now, in the same way, Jesus experienced for us in our place the sufferings that are as a result of the effects of the fall. And I'm thinking now, if you just think with me for a moment, and I think... this may be hard to understand. Peter spoke of, in a word, of Paul's teaching, and I'm not aligning myself with Paul, but he says there's things that Paul taught that there's just really, yeah, study and study the counsel of God to get a handle onto it. And what Peter was talking about there was the grace of God and the grace message. But tonight I'm speaking about the essence of who God is and who Christ is. And in Isaiah 53, you have a depiction of the crucifixion and the passion. And when I use the word passion, what Christ went through as he went to the cross. And for the critics, but also those that would wrestle with this, the context, the overall context of Isaiah 53 and the book of Isaiah in its overall context is dealing with atonement, with the atonement, the vicarious atonement for and Christ's work and what he was doing and why he went to the cross and salvation. And in Isaiah 53, you have a description of what he went through going to the cross in his passion. And he was going to the cross. We now know from in New Testament revelation that he was going to the cross to pay the wages of sin, which is death, and to do the work that was necessary for our redemption and for salvation, to be able to become born again of the Spirit. And on his way, it started in the garden and then progressed through his passion and his and then the road to Calvary and his submission to the authorities under Pilate with his scourging, and then finally his crucifixion and his death. He was beat. He was in the garden. He underwent suffering to the point where he actually shed blood. There's a physical medical term for that, where one is under such pressure, such high blood pressure as a result of the stress, to literally sweat blood. And really it's a terminal condition at that point. Yeah, he survived it. The word says in Isaiah 53 that surely he has borne our infirmities, and that surely he has carried our sorrows. The strong says in that scripture that that can be properly translated as he has borne our diseases and our pain. Our diseases and our pain. And I'm thinking with the cases of those of Chris and with Michelle, disease and pain. And pain as a result of nerve damage that she's addressing, we're praying for. He has borne those things. And he went on, and he was, the word says in Isaiah 53 that he was bruised for our iniquity, and he was wounded for our transgressions. Transgressions, speaking of our own willful actions that bring suffering upon us as a result of wrong decisions. Bruising, speaking of those wounds that you experience when you're hit, and the bruise is deep within. It shows on the outside. Oftentimes you see it as a form of hematoma, but the bruise is very deep. And Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, and the deep bruising is that of the iniquity that was, as a result of wrong decision of Adam, and its manifestation within us and in our fallen state. And it goes on to say that the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and the word peace is shalom, and the word in the Hebrew. And shalom, again, defined as wholeness, health, healing, renewal of life like that of the young lions and the angels or the eagle's wings, and extension of life. My point in all this, and then finally, and here's where some, it's controversial, the claims that are made on this as people stand on it. Isaiah 53:11 says, by his stripes we were healed. 1 Peter 2:20, by his stripes we are healed. And many will take and say, well, wait a minute, that's applying to the atonement. That is correct. In context, it is. But however, where the connection comes in, and I'm absolutely convinced of this, where the connection comes in is in a description of the passion. You cannot separate the effects of the fall and sin from sin itself. And so as a result of the fall, Jesus went to the cross and bore our diseases, bore our pain, bore our infirmities, bore our afflictions. He was chastened for our peace. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. They go hand in hand, and the connection is the fruit of the sin, which you can't disconnect, that lends itself to the application correctly of applying it to healing and a need for healing. because man is suffering as a result of the effects of the work of the enemy in deceiving Adam and Eve and the effects on us. And so our healer has come on the scene now, and his name is Jesus Christ. And his name and his character and nature, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I shared this in the study this afternoon. I'll repeat it here tonight. Malachi 4:2, Malachi says that and it was written prophetically for those to look at in terms of those that would study the word and look for the Messiah. One of the signs that they would look for, the predominant sign of who the Messiah would be, is that he would be a healer. Malachi 4:2, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And so as a result of the effect of sin and the fall, we have disease that comes upon us. We have pain that comes upon us. God allows it, but I don't believe that God is the author of it. Now, I understand what the scriptures teach, and there are times when he will use it, in that he's behind it, in this sense, chastisement. Okay, just to give you a taste of understanding the balance, so you know where I'm coming from. In Hebrews chapter 12, on the doctrine, in the full mention on chastisement, it says that God chastens those that he loves, and he goes on to say that without chastisement, it's an indicator that we are bastards. But if we're in total rebellion and a negative volition towards God in his chastisement, he may scourge us. And the word scourge is taken from a Greek word that literally defined means that God will physically put us on our back where it's just us and him. And it's time to do business. So, but other than that, predominantly speaking, the things that come against us because of who we are and that we're made in the image of God. We have Christ within us, and the enemy is behind it. And so, predominantly speaking, I believe the counsel of God lends itself to us to believe God, to believe God, and to believe God for healing, for miracles, for deliverance, for victory. In Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 27, the Word of God tells us that he is in intercession. I'm going to summarize and try to keep the timeline short here on this. But the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, is in his ever-living, making intercession for us in the Spirit to deliver us from that which is coming against us. And there's a whole list that is given there. And we also read it here in 2 Corinthians 1. There's a whole list of things that come against us, even to the point where it brings us to where, like as Paul put it, our lives are in despair of even death. And these things that come against us, Paul goes on to write in Romans chapter 8, God in everything works all things together for to the good of those that love him or are called according to his purpose. He goes on to write that if God be for us, who shall be against us? And he makes the case that if God, who spared not his only uniquely begotten Son, shall he not also give us all things freely? Then he gives a five case who shall come against us. Speaking of the atmosphere, the devil, the demons, the world system, and even ourselves from within, and the flesh and the old sin nature that would try to bring on self-condemnation. And he goes on to say, all these things that come against us, I'll summarize it. Yea, no, and all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. We are overcomers, and nothing, nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And in the case where God allows for it, where the illness or the affliction and the attack even brings us to death itself, even there we win. Because that can be a manifestation of the ultimate form of deliverance and healing. And that Jesus says, if you believe upon me, you shall never die. And death is really a graduation for us. But in the meantime, as we go through these things, the Holy Spirit is here to comfort us. And the Holy Spirit, as he brings us through things like this, gives us a capacity for those that go through it to be able to minister to others. The Holy Spirit working through them and their experience to comfort others that are going through it. And so all of it involves a plan of God, in turn, even right down to the last detail. I remember Rick Riccio's wife, Ellen, made this statement, and she says, God never wastes pain. Okay? And so, and I remember, I overheard this in pastor's counsel to our sister that's in pain, and suffering pain, that she, her testimony is that the pain is so severe and so long that her body reacts in rejection even before when she senses it coming on. And that it gets to the point where she's even despaired of it, not even wanting to live. It's so painful. Can you imagine that? Okay? And his counsel was basically to do this when and if you can, the purpose to in the midst of it, because we're praying for deliverance, believing God for deliverance. But his counsel was, and it's a bona fide counsel, praise God in the midst of it. Do what you can to praise God. Give God the glory. Give God the glory, remembering that the source of it, it's not God, but it's the enemy that's doing these things. It's the enemy that's bringing these things upon us through the effect of the fall and all its repercussions. And it's the enemy doing it because he hates us and he hates Christ within us. And so we can take some comfort. As you study it and meditate on it, you'll take a lot of comfort from when we're aware of it, and it'll even help you in it to understand that, okay, this is coming against Christ in me. Just like, I put another practical application for understanding, comprehension. When you're witnessing for Christ and you share your testimony, and somebody comes against you and rejects you, don't take it personal. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. You're the messenger, okay? But as the messenger, sometimes you're going to take the heat. but you know what? If you're walking in the Spirit, you won't feel the heat when it comes. and you also, in the same way, in the early passages of the Gospels, it says, I think it's in Matthew 7, it's in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, blessed are you and great is your reward when man speaks evil of you and against you for no reason. Okay? And especially because of your testimony as to who you are in Christ. So, word of encouragement, and a word, and I want to put this, I really want to get this out there and just, I understand, I'll make the statement again, I understand the word balance, in terms of the balance of the full counsel of God. I adhere to the full counsel of God. In saying that, I also understand and see that our God is a healer. And that the bulk of the testimony in the counsel in the New Testament especially is that we are to seek God for healing and for deliverance. Okay? We read it right here in 2 Corinthians 1. Our God is able to deliver us, and he will deliver. He was writing to the Corinthians, but writing to us. He will deliver us. Okay? And I would close out with this scripture that I pointed to earlier, but I'll just quote it right now in terms of the afflictions that come against us. Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions. Remember, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them from them all. Okay? All. All. James chapter 5, if any man be sick among you, let him call for the elders, and the elders anointing with oil shall pray for the sick, and the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. As we pray and believe in God, if you weren't here about a month ago, there was a message from Baltimore that was played, and Pastor Shabelli got up here on a screen and preach this emphasis and message, I believe God. Okay? I believe God. Because I believe God. And I'll tie that with this scripture. Jesus said unto to the man that approached him for his son, I think it was, and he said, Can you do this? Jesus said unto him, let it be unto you according to your faith. And the Holy Spirit has been recently moving and is moving and still emphasizing, and I believe that he will do it progressively, for us to believe according to our faith in the full counsel of God and what we see in the Word. So for these brothers and sisters that we've been praying for and are praying for, and your own personal needs as well, I want to give this exhortation. And I'm not going to balance it. All right? Fight the good fight of faith. Fight for these brothers and sisters that are facing such serious, severe, even life threatening opposition to them. Your responsibility, my responsibility, is to stand in the gap, to cry with those that are crying, rejoice with those that are rejoicing, and to use and activate and operate in our believer priest position with the faith that God has given us, and we are to fight and fight and fight and never give up. Never give up. Never give up asking. Never give up believing. Never give up standing on the promises of God and holding those promises up to God and reminding him of what he has said. Fight the good fight of faith. Do it for the love of the brethren and the love of Christ in us, through us, and from him. We are called to fight the good fight of faith and to go forward believing God in the motivation of all that he is and all that he's done for us and all that he's going to do for us, and cast down those thoughts and projections that would come against anything but believing God for the best outcome. Love believes the best, 1 Corinthians 13. Love believes the best. And love never fails. And God is love. God is love. So brothers and sisters, I call you to fight the good fight of faith. Keep believing. Keep going forward. Know that God is in control. And even in a case, if God chooses to let whatever it is that they're up against, take them home, to take them in the ultimate form of healing, and that is home to be with the Lord. And we'll trust God even in that. But don't let it, when those things happen that we don't understand, even after we fought, and I'm not trying to take away from the exhortation, we can believe God because God sovereignly is in control. And God knows what's going on. He's in the details. He's in the details. And we did this in the Wednesday study today, and I don't know where I'm at on time, so if I need to shut down, somebody needs to just yell out. But in the Wednesday study, pretty much all we did today under the inspiration of the Spirit is we praise God. We spent almost the whole study just singing praise God to the tune of Amazing Grace. And the reason for it, the Spirit was initiating a focus on the presence of God. And in Psalm 100, I think it is, it says, let everything within us praise God. Praise God. Why? In Psalm 100 and 101, our God inhabits praise. Our God inhabits praise. And in the midst of what we might be subject to as we become vessels of grace on display, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we won't feel the effects of the flames. We will actually fellowship with the fourth man in the fire and not even have the hairs on our arms singed by it. Why? Because of the love of God that protects us, that is for us. And if God be for us, who shall be against us? In Romans chapter 8. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I'm believing God for deliverance and for miracles. And I'll continue to emphasize that because I know that it's the Holy Spirit that 20 years or better ago put the motivation and the emphasis within me to believe him for the same. And I hope you will too. Fight this fight together because the time is short and we win. We've won already. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, I bow in your presence and close this out with this prayer. Father, that you would help us to receive all that the Holy Spirit is bearing witness to and make it ours and help us to walk in it and appropriate it that we may possess the victories. Since the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of God suffereth violence and the violent lay siege to it for themselves. Praise be to God. You have called us to be warriors. And right now, if there's anyone listening to this that have never received Christ and haven't received the healing that comes to the soul through putting your faith in Christ and what he's done for you, I ask that you would do that with me and pray, dear Jesus, heal my soul. Appropriate your work on the cross to my soul. Come into me. Save me. I receive you by faith and thank you for what you've done for me in dying for me on the cross that I may live through you. In Jesus' name, praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Looks like Pastor Moore is on my left, so. Okay.
Hallelujah. Good words. Good words. Them's fighting words.